Perhaps the most notorious witch trial of the 17th century, that of the Pendle Witches, is one of the many dark tales of imprisonment and execution at Lancaster Castle. 12 people were accused of witchcraft, 1 died while held in custody, 11 went to trial. Only 1 was found not guilty.
It was an unusual trial in that it was documented in an official publication, The Wonderful Discovery of Witches in the County of Lancaster, by the Clerk of the Court, Thomas Potts. The story has remained as a well-known legend due to the detail of the events and gives us a glimpse into the fear that possessed people living in small villages where their lives depended on not starving to death.
Pendle Hill and the surrounding area holds firm to the history of the witch trials, and many tales of disturbing hauntings and apparitions have been seen. Hi, I'm Anne.
And I'm Renata. Join us as we look more deeply into the story of the witches of Pendle Hill in this episode of True Hauntings Podcast.
Anne and Renata have been investigating paranormal occurrences for the past 20 years. They have been at the center of various unexplained phenomena and have witnessed countless ghostly experiences. The duo now turn to high-profile cases that have attracted the eyes of the world. Between the dimensions we see and the dimensions we don't, supernatural forces are at play. Evil lurks within the shadows of our homes and in the darkest corners of our minds. It follows us like a shadow, forever. This is where nightmares become reality. This is True Hauntings.
My story begins on the 18th day of March in the year 1612. I was 9 years old, and my life began to change on that day. My mother and my grandmother, she demanded of the peddler to buy some pins of him, but the peddler sturdily answered her that he would not loose his pack, and so she parting with him. Presently, there appeared to her the black dog, which appeared unto her as before, which black dog spake unto her in English, saying, What wouldst thou have me do unto yonder man? To whom she said, What canst thou do at him? The dog answered again, I can lame him. Whereupon she answered and said to the black dog, Lame him. And before the peddler was gone 40 rods further, he fell down lame. And she then went after the peddler, and in a house about the distance aforesaid, he was lying lame. And so she went begging in Trawden Forest that day, and came home at night. Well, that little snippet came from a book called The Wonderful Discovery of Witches by Robert Poole, and it was actually part of the transcript from the witches' trials, wasn't it?
Yes, so the witches' trials were actually subscribed or scribed by a
Thomas Potts, was it?
Thomas Potts, that's correct. Thomas Potts, a clerk, that's what I was looking for. Clerk of the court, Thomas Potts.
Yes.
And it was written in ye olde Englishy.
Yes.
And really, really difficult to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult to understand. And so it has been reworded or made fresh so that us commoners can read it now in common English. And I actually picked this book up at Pendle Hill.
You did?
Yes.
Oh my God. And then you've told me like a day or two ago, she's gone, look what I've got.
I know, I realised I had these beautiful books at home.
She's handed me this book on Witches and Ghosts of Pendle Hill and the Ribble Valley by Jacqueline DeWitt. And I've gone, oh my God. And I've now got all little sticky tags hanging out left, right and centre because I've got stories to tell you.
Yes, you certainly do. But before you go into the stories of the hauntings, and literally every corner of that county is haunted, let me tell you. I want to go into the history of the Pendle Hill witch trials.
Do you remember when we were going to England the first time and I found this trip and I've rung you up and I've gone, Renata, I found this really good weekend. It's a great weekend, but it's expensive. Can we please do it? And she goes, what is it? I said, well, it's 3 days and two nights at Pendle Hill. She's gone, oh, my God, yes, yes. Don't care if we have to prostitute ourselves on a corner. We will do it. No, I didn't say that. But it turns out that you'd actually wanted to do that for a few years.
Yes.
But your other travel companion
yes.
didn't do it because she gets a bit scared.
Yes, yes.
Aren't you lucky you found me?
Hello, Gail.
Hi, Gail.
Because I know she'll be listening to this because she is one of our biggest fans. Yes. Look, there are so many great podcasts and blogs and things about the history of England. We could just spend the whole of the True Hauntings podcast just in England, but we can't.
I reckon you could just spend it in Pendle Hill.
You could.
From what I've seen.
You could. Now, this goes back to the 1600s. And at that stage, there is a great uproar in the country because kings keep on changing all the time. And so does the religion that the country is supposed to follow. So one minute they're Catholic, and then they're Protestant, and then they're Catholic, and then they're Protestant. And
oh, hang on. You forgot one. They started off pagan.
Well, pagan, yeah.
And then they were Catholic, yes. Then they were Protestant.
Yeah, yeah. And this is a huge issue because they go in and they dismantle everything and they change all the rules. And look, there's always got to be a fall guy in all of this. It's never the issue of the people in charge. And
oh, no.
Nothing changes,
not
really.
Not the aristocratic word?
The aristocratic.
Yeah, the posh people.
And the politicians. It's none of their business. And when we go back to the 1600s, the religious leaders as well, not their problem.
Oh, no.
But let's find a fall guy.
Oh, yes.
And the fall guy...
Every time.
...were in the 15th, 14th, 15th, 16th century were the alleged cunning women or witches.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So let's just go there. Let's just go there and make them...
It's got nothing to do with cunnilingus.
No. Oh, God. All right.
I've gone to a new depth. Oh, I'm sorry.
Have.
No children should be listening to this.
You have.
My mums and dads out there, I'm very sorry. You may have to explain what that word is now. Ha ha. Have fun with that.
Right. So, as I said, I wanted to go quickly through the background of the events of these trials so that we can understand this whole horrid affair. And it was a whole horrid affair. And again, jumping into the future now, they are really looking at getting all of these women pardon right
yes.
now. They want to pardon them.
Yeah.
So this is an interesting full circle.
Mm-hmm.
So six of the 11 witches on trial came from two rival families in the Pendle area. And these families were the Demdike family and the Chattox family.
Mm-hmm.
And they had two matriarchs who had been around the area for a really long time. And they were known as one was known as a cunning woman. The other one was known as a witch. And there is a difference. So cunning women are supposed to have all the attributes of witches, I guess, but they use their skills for good.
Oh, I
so
see.
So consider them as the white witches of the 21st century.
Oh, Renata, you're definitely not a cunning woman.
Mm-hmm. And the others, the witches, use their genius for black magic and doing nasty things and casting curses and all that sort of stuff.
And who came up with that definition?
Yeah, we won't go there.
Yeah.
All right. So we have the Demdike family and the Chattox family. So both, as I said, were headed by old and very poor widows. And these people were poor. And this is what people nowadays forget, that when you're talking about cunning women and witches, these were women from poor families in small villages who most of the time were just trying to save themselves from starvation, who had very little education, who had no one to look after them because now lands were becoming privately owned instead of publicly owned, mm-hmm. so they couldn't farm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And these women had the skills to assist at a birth or to be a mediator between fights in families or to even sometimes keep the law.
Ah.
That's what these cunning women did.
For anyone that's watching Wheel of Time, bit like a wisdom.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. And they were in many cases the poorest of the poor in these villages. So we had Elizabeth Southerns, who was known as Old Demdike, and Anna Whittle, who was Mother Chattox. And both of them were like in their 70s and 80s, right?
Which is amazing for the time.
Yes, absolutely.
So that would have been suspicious to start with.
Mm-hmm. So it was accepted. It was an accepted part of village life in the 16th century that there were village healers or cunning women who practiced magic and dealt in herbs and medicines. These people could not afford doctors.
No, there was no such thing as a doctor.
So who you went to was the local herb lady,
yeah.
who knew how to mix a bit of a brew and, yeah. and get things.
Get a poultice happening. Yeah. I mean, you could die from a splinter in your foot.
Yep.
If it got infected and they didn't know how to treat it. No such thing as antibiotics.
Mm-hmm. So the difference between a cunning woman and a witch was pretty strong for those who wanted to stay alive. A cunning woman healed the sick, might act as a social worker, might even be someone who oversaw law and order in a village, as long as she did not interfere with the real lawmakers. So it'd have to be on the down low.
Right.
And a witch could kill people by cursing them or casting spells.
I'd be in trouble because I curse every day.
That was the difference. So indeed, it was a time when witchcraft was not only feared but also fascinated those from common village folk to King James I. And here we have the man that really rips everything to shreds.
The paranoid dude.
So King James I comes from Scotland and he has to be on the throne for England. And he already is paranoid. He mm-hmm. thinks the whole world is after him.
Mm-hmm. Probably some inbreeding there.
Maybe. So he is very interested in witchcraft even before he takes his throne in 1603.
Doesn't that just, my mind goes,
and actually when he's coming over with his new wife to settle in England, he believes that the witches have been creating havoc because the boat he is on sinks and or is dashed against the rocks.
It would have nothing to do with bad weather or anything like that. No, no, no. It's those witches.
Yes, he believes the witches are after him already. So he writes a book called Demonology.
Yep.
Oh.
And this is where all of the demonology ideas and everything that's still around today on TV have spawned from.
Mm-hmm. So this
and then the drunk monks got hold of it.
Yep. This is his formula.
Yeah.
His formula.
Which he made up.
For getting rid of witches because that's what his intention is. Get rid of them. Kill them.
Yep.
They cannot be living.
Yep. We can't have any women in power either.
And mind you, this is written, like I said, in the 1600s, and it's ye olde English. It is available. If you go to the Gutenberg Project, that's the Gutenberg Project.
G-U-T-T?
G-U-T-E-N-B-E-R-G, I think, or B-U-R-G Project.
I will find the link and put it up for you.
You can actually read the real words. The really wordies. And
I like it when you read it, Renata.
And I hope you can make some sense out of it because I tried for a paragraph and I went, nah.
Yeah, you actually tried to transcribe a soundscape for me and it just ended up in a higgledy-piggledy mess.
Yes. So it has now been, again, modernised.
But I do appreciate it, by the way.
It has been modernised. So you can actually get an English, common English transcript. It's just as hard.
Yeah. Like I struggled a bit even to read out what I read from that book there, and that has been made more modern.
Mm. Yep. So There you go, 1600s. So the king's views were also imposed as law, thank you very much. And each justice of the peace in Lancashire at the beginning of the year 1612.
Not 2012, good God, Renata.
1612 was instructed to compile a list of all those who refused to attend church or take communion because that was a criminal offence.
We're in trouble.
Right. It was a criminal offence.
We would have been burnt at the stake, you and I.
Yeah. So during the dissolution of the monasteries, the people of Pendle Hill openly opposed the closure of the nearby Cistercian Abbey and reverted back to Catholicism when Queen Mary came to the throne in 1553. So here we go. It was Catholic when Queen Mary was there in the 1500s. And then James tries to change it to Protestant and just burn everything. So the region of Lancashire was thought of as where the church was honoured without much understanding of its doctrines by the common people. So this was a way of really making Catholicism blacklisted. They don't know what they're talking about. The devil actually roams in Catholicism.
Oh, right,
and
I see.
And we as Protestants know we have to save their souls. Isn't this interesting?
People and religion, honest to heaven's Betsy's.
Yep. And it was this background of unease that the two judges made their investigations and sentenced the Pendle Hill witches. Because, again, they're trying to please the local lawmakers and they're trying to please the king.
Oh, yeah. And that's otherwise they lose their head.
Mm-hmm. And there was a recent podcast that I watched and they actually were speaking to a descendant of Alice Nutter. Mm-hmm. And Alice Nutter was one of these women that was taken away.
Isn't that a great name? Yeah. I love the name.
And he actually said, the person that was doing the interviewing said, oh, there might not be a lot of nutters in England, but we know there are a lot of nutters around here. Ha, 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 ha. And the gentleman said, yes, oh, yes, there's a lot of nutters that live around here. I think that was Irish, actually.
I thought you were doing Indian then. I'm like, what the hell?
And he actually said that the Nutter family, who were not poor. They actually were landowners but were part of this whole shenanigans on the day it all happened. Were actually in the wrong place at the wrong time and they were very devout Catholics. And this is one of the reasons why they were taken.
Right.
Right. So, story began with an altercation between the accused or one of the accused, Alison Device, and a peddler, John Law.
Yes, and that was part of the soundscape I read out.
Yep. So Alison was either travelling or begging on the road to Trewarden Forest and she passed John Law and asked him for some pins. Now, it's not known whether her intention was to pay for them or whether she was begging, but I dare say she was probably begging.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And he refused. And so Alison cursed him.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting about the black dog thing. Yeah. That's associated with it. And when you read through the discovery of witches and the transcript of the trial, you will find that a lot of the people associated with all of this seem to be accused of having familiars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was one of the another soundscape there that I was looking at, which was talking about the black dog and Alison and the peddler. And it was saying, hang on, let me find that part. And as he lay there in great pain, not able to stir either hand or foot, he saw a great black dog stand by him, and with very fearful, fiery eyes, great teeth, and a terrible countenance, looked him in the face, whereat he was very sore afraid. And then it actually goes on to say that he saw her,
Alison, talking to the black dog.
Talking to the black dog, but not only that. Yeah, and there was the part where it was also saying that he witnessed her suckling the dog on her teat, which was below her breasts, which was a sign of a witch because she had her familiar and was feeding it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So John Law refused. Alison apparently cursed him. It was a short while after that John Law fell lame.
Yes.
On the ground. He could not move. Now, He blamed this on Alison and her powers.
Mm-hmm.
When this incident was brought before Justice Knoll in the village, Alison, under pressure, confessed that she had told the devil to lame John Law. Now, when, again, you read the transcripts of the court case, what that translates into and what happened was John Law actually had a stroke. So if you read what happened to him, that he was paralyzed really on one side, that his mouth was askew, yeah, all of these things happened. So he came upon her. She allegedly cursed him. There could have been a dog involved in this, like a real dog, yeah, that bared its teeth and started to snarl and scared John.
You don't know with peddlers. He could have actually tried to do something inappropriate, yep, to a young girl walking on the road by herself, yep, or begging.
And so this fear actually produced a mini stroke, and he fell down at the same time that this happened, and his whole left side went numb.
Right.
So he was later found, taken home, and his son went to the local justice and said, you've got to do something about this because this witch lamed my father.
Oh, yes. It's always someone else's fault.
So it was upon further questioning that Alison accused her grandmother, old mother Demdike, and other members of the Chaddocks family of witchcraft. So this is where it starts. They go to Justice Knoll and accuse Alison of witchcraft. Alison takes this to heart. She really feels that there is some sort of innate power in her, because otherwise how could this happen? How could she bring a man down?
Yeah, because she would be looking at him and see the disfigurement, mm-hmm, and what's happened to,
yep,
him.
She's done it.
Right in front of her.
Yep. So she's gone, I must be a witch. And she actually goes to him and apologises and says, I'm so sorry that I've done this. I didn't know. I had no idea that I had this power. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
And so this is where the court case starts.
Oh, no.
And, of course, when she gets taken to court, what does she do? She blames the rest of the family because she's in this family.
How old is she, 18?
Yeah, she's probably 18, 19.
Yeah, that's about,
yep,
right.
Yep. And she says, look, you know, my mother Demdike is a cunning woman. Old mother Demdike is a cunning woman. The Chaddocks family here, they do witchcraft. It's part of the community. I didn't know I had this power. We just all do this. It's just a thing that, you know, why is all of a sudden this a problem? Right. So the accusations on the Chaddocks family seem to have been an act of revenge because, again, we've got a complicated issue. This is a small village and it is an us and them village.
Yep.
So you're either on the Demdike side or you're on the Chaddocks side.
Okay, Romeo, Juliet.
Yep. And the Chaddocks, the families had been feuding for many, many years. And one of the Chaddocks family had actually broken into Malcolm Tower, which was where the home, where the Demdikes lived.
Mm-hmm.
They lived in a place called Malcolm Tower, which kind of really wasn't much of a tower anyway. And it seems to be really like fabulous, but it wasn't. It was a shithole,
yeah,
really. And one of the translations of the word of Malcolm, which turns into Mokum, I think, or Mokum, which, yeah, is slang for shit.
Oh, okay. Shit tower.
It is a shit tower, yep. And they stole goods to the value of £1, which would be approximately about £100 today. So there's been some goings on between,
yeah,
the two families. So furthermore, John Device, father of Alison, then blames an illness that led to his death on old Chaddocks, who had threatened to harm his family if he did not pay annually for their protection. So old
we've got a protection racket,
yeah,
going,
so
as well.
Old Mother Chaddocks, who is the dark witch,
mm-hmm,
has put a curse on the Demdike family and said that if you don't pay me an annual fee, which was in oatmeal, I believe,
mm-hmm,
then I'll engage that curse and bring you all down. So if you keep paying me a fee once,
wow,
a year, and I will just leave that curse.
Is
floating.
That what he said that they said?
Well,
or is that what she said?
She said. She said,
so
that
she
to
had,
him. Yeah.
Wow.
So all of them, once they start...
Lovely people.
Once they start going to this courthouse, it all starts to rock and roll. It all starts to come out,
and
right?
Meanwhile, the judge has just taken notes of all the names,
ooh,
that are mentioned.
Yeah, yeah. So the deaths of four other villagers that had occurred years before the trial were raised.
Yep. So old John the farmer down the road, he died. It's probably got something to do with the witchcraft of old Mother Chattox.
Of course.
So all the deaths of four other villagers that had occurred years before the trial were raised and the blame laid on witchcraft performed by Chattox. Yep. So James Demdike confessed that Alison had also cursed a local child sometime before, and Elizabeth, although more reserved in making accusations, confessed her mother had a mark on her body, supposedly where the devil had sucked her blood, which left her mad.
Right.
There you go. On further questioning, both old Demdike and Chattox confessed to selling their souls. And Anne Chattox's daughter was allegedly seen to create clay figures.
Ooh, so, how dare you make a clay figure? Mm-hmm. Don't tell Royal Dalton that, will you?
No. After hearing this evidence, the judge detained Alison, Anne, old Demdike, old Chattox and waited for trial. Now, the story would have ended there had it not been for a meeting held at Malkin Tower by James Device, Alison's brother, for which he stole a neighbour's sheep. Now, this meeting occurred, I believe, on Good Friday.
Yes.
And everyone had to be in church on Good Friday. Otherwise, they were already breaking the law.
Yep.
So this meeting at Malkin Tower was either devised to break that law, or it was when they just all got together.
Yeah.
Right. And so James Device stole a neighbour's sheep, killed it so that they would have food. And there was a big group of people in there having a party.
They were looking for the Easter eggs for the Easter bunny.
Mm-hmm. So those sympathetic to the family attended, but word reached the judge, who felt compelled to investigate. And as a result, a further eight people were summoned for questioning and then trial. The trials were held at Lancaster between the 17th and 19th of August, 1612. And old Demdike never reached trial. The dark, dank dungeon in which they were imprisoned was too much for her to survive. They had 20 people in a cell that was like 12 foot by 14 or something.
What's that in metres?
Oh,
she's too old to know metres.
Not big. But old Demdike being around 80s, she just couldn't survive that, so she died.
Oh, the poor thing. Yep. I bet her chest sounded just like mine.
Now, there was one person that we really need to mention here at this point in time.
Who?
And this is Janet Device.
Janet!
Now, Janet was 9 years old.
Oh, gorgeous little poppet.
And she became the key witness, the key supplier of evidence for the Pendle Hill witch trials.
A nine-year-old?
Yes, so up to this time, you weren't allowed to put a child on trial. But guess what?
Oh, this is different.
This is different.
Of course.
And from this point on, this was a precedent.
Mm.
And this is where, when the Salem witch trials occurred, they put all those children on trial as well. Now, Janet Device was taken away from the rest of the family and didn't go to the jail. She was kept somewhere else, and we're not quite sure where. But when she was eventually put on trial, she knew exactly what to say and how to say it.
She'd been coached.
Without even stopping a moment to think about it.
Not suspicious at all.
No. So Janet Device was a key supplier of evidence for the Pendle witch trials, which was allowed under the system from King James, and all normal rules of evidence could be suspended for witch trials. So someone as young as Janet would not normally have been allowed to supply any key evidence, but this time she could. So Janet gave evidence against those who attended the meeting at Malcolm Tower, but also against her mother, her sister and her brother. She sent her whole family to the gallows.
Wow.
So remember that Janet had been taken away and held for weeks prior to the trial. It was actually 4 months she was held.
That's
four months.
A lot of time to coach someone.
She was groomed. She was absolutely groomed. So when she gave evidence, her mother, Elizabeth, was in the court. And she screamed at her daughter to stop. Screamed. And her daughter, and cursed her. And her daughter said, you must take her away. So they took Elizabeth out of the court. And then that is when Janet stepped up and accused them all.
It sounds very much like Salem.
Mm. So some of the Pendle witches seemed to be genuinely convinced of their guilt, whereas others fought to clear their names. So Alison Device was one of those who believed in her own powers and was also the only one on trial who was faced with one of their victims, John Law. When John entered the court, it was documented that Alison fell to her knees, confessed and burst into tears.
Well, I mean, you've got to think through or look through the eyes of the 1600s and witnessing that. Of course she thought she had powers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It would have terrified her. She would probably like, well, no, take me away. I don't want to hurt anyone else.
Mm-hmm. So in conclusion, it seemed to be a range of exceptional circumstances that led to the extent of these witch trials. Indeed, Lancashire was exceptional in the number of witch trials that were held in comparison to other regions who experienced the same degree of social depravity. The money that could be made from claiming powers in witchcraft in the 17th century probably caused the declarations made by the two families. They may have been in competition for the best reputation in the area. This backfired and the wild accusations escalated, fueled by general feelings of unrest and fear of witchcraft across the county, making this the biggest and most notorious witch trial in UK history. And some of this information that I got came from the Historic UK site, and also about three or four of some awesome podcasts that I think I rewatched five times, mm-hmm. because I just kept on trying to get snippets of information out of it to kind of try and understand how witchcraft and cunning women and this whole thing was embedded into these small villages, and how the small villages were just continually in fear by the big lords and the landowners and the king and everyone else that had power over them, because these people had no power whatsoever.
No, they were helpless and very superstitious.
Very superstitious.
Does that mean it's my turn?
It is your turn.
Okay, my little darklings, I know, just by looking at me, you think, that guy does not work out. Well, you'd be right. And aside from just looking at me and knowing I don't work out, I was quickly reminded of the fact that I don't work out because I've got subscriptions to not one, not two, but three different apps to help me maintain my weight and get in shape and feel better. Three apps that I worked diligently when I first signed up for them for about a week and then forgot all about them. But thankfully, Rocket Money didn't forget about them. I'd forgotten all about three, not one, not two, but three different subscriptions to three different organizations. And here I am, still dumb, still fat, and losing money every month without even paying attention to it. I think some of you out there might understand the predicament I'm in, and that's why you need to get Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending, and it helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over all of my subscriptions and a clear view of exactly where my money is going. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved now a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/P60. That's rocketmoney.com/P60. rocketmoney.com/P60. My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity that you get. That, wow, how have I been living like this feeling? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. Wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. The quality that I've received from Mint Mobile is second to none, and I've tried them all. And this is an amazing company to work with that actually cares about their clients and the prices that they charge. So if you're on that fence wondering, should I make the shift? You're going to get great coverage. You're going to get great customer service and all of the bells and whistles you expect from the bigger brand names. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans and their jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/P60. That's mintmobile.com/P60. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/P60. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to just $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Well, did you know that Most Haunted went there?
Yes.
Oh, they did live cross. It was fabulous. But look, Pendle Hill is actually quite a big area. And there is a lot of reported activity. I've tried to draw out some of the ghost stories that are reported. I too watched some YouTube things, and there was a group of young men that went to the St. Mary's Cemetery there, which was supposed to be quite haunted, and they had all their gadgets out. They were American, I think it's called Overnight, the channel, and they were getting activity left, right and center. They had a REM pod down there, and they're going, if you want us to leave, make the REM pod go off. And they go, D-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d. Oh wow, the REM pod's gone off. Oh wow, okay, is that you, such and such? And so the things go, oh wow, REM pod's going off. And then something else would go off down the other side, because it was just out of shot and you don't know exactly what's happened down there. But they kept saying, if you want us to leave, and the things would go off and say, we want you to leave. Mm-hmm. They never left. Mm-hmm. They kept hanging around there. Mm-hmm. But there's some of the people involved in the trial were buried in that location. So anyway, let me get on to some of the stories before I get into the Most Haunted.
Okay.
Actually, that episode did something for me.
Oh, God.
Oh. Now, there is the Lower Wellhead Farms, located in a rather well-known region of Lancashire. Oh, God. I'm sick, everyone. Just bear with me. Known as Pendle Hill. All right. So this is going, talking about the witch trials and what happened to them and all that sort of thing. Now, the reported phenomena that happened near this farmhouse, They have tall, dark shapes that have been seen walking around the outside of the building and in the dining room.
The dining room?
The dining room.
These houses would not have had a dining room. They would have had one room. Yep. That's it.
Yep. There's whispering noises in these old houses. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also the feeling of being strangled.
Oh.
There's also supposed to be an unknown mischievous spirit in the master bedroom who likes to open drawers.
What house are they talking about?
This is the farm. There's a farmhouse, and this is where they ended up with the Most Haunted team.
Uh-huh.
I'm a little bit discombobulated. Yep. I hope I'm making sense.
Yeah. No, right, it's fine, but I'm...
We didn't get to go to this place, and I was a little peeved because I really wanted to go to this place.
But you know that place isn't really the place.
Shh.
Sorry.
This is Most Haunted.
When they talk about a dining room and a master bedroom.
I know.
A master bedroom.
I know.
Oh, my God.
I'm.
Oh, my God.
Right, there goes one of my reveals. Right, thank you.
Okay, sorry.
there's also, as I said, the one that opens drawers. But
yes,
there is a ghost that snatches the door from people's hands.
Oh.
It's terrifying. But they do say that there is a spirit of a little girl aged around 7 to 9 that has been identified by, guess who's identified her?
Derek Okora?
No, not Derek. This is mediums.
Oh.
The mediums say that it's Janet Device.
Yeah, but you know Janet died.
Don't.
Okay.
I've got more on Janet.
All right.
Poor little Janet.
Poor little Janet.
And as we know, she was one of the key witnesses. Her ghost has been seen wearing a white nightgown whilst crying in the upstairs bedroom. Did you know they had a multi-level house?
Upstairs. This is hilarious.
Apparently there's also dragging noises that are often heard along the walls of the upstairs corridor.
Oh, God.
Could this be made by Elizabeth Demdike or Southerness, what have they called her? She died in a cell and aged 80. But it was more known to be the neighbouring farm, Tynedale Farm. I think that's where they ended up with most hauntings.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a place called Haunted Happenings, and they run ghost tours and weekends. I can't remember who did our weekend. They really enjoyed it. It was great.
And they took us to an empty field and said, this is where the house is.
Yes, yes. Well, hang on. We'll get to that.
Okay.
Don't let me forget, because right. I may forget. So they said that they've got ghosts from all eras. It's not just the Pendle Hill witches.
Yeah.
They've got airmen whose planes were bombed in the war, and also people who have died on the hill
who
are haunting in there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there's locals that refuse to go to the hill point blank after dark because they are terrified by the sightings of spirits. Now, there was one report that I read of some investigators going up, and they climbed all the way up. It took them hours and hours to get to the top.
Mm-hmm.
They saw nothing on the way up. They did some spirit box sessions and things up the top, got nothing, and then walked all the way back down the hill again. And by the time they were getting down the hill, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning, and they saw two lights off in the distance.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really off in the distance.
Mm-hmm.
They had photos there, and they got excited because that might have been a ghost, or it could have been a car, but, you know, it's a ghost. And then they snapped some photos of these misty forms that were in front of them.
Ooh. It's 4 o'clock in the morning.
4 o'clock in
it's
the morning.
England.
And I think they've just had a cigarette because I'm pretty sure that it was smoke.
All right.
Oh, anyway. All right, so these guys actually had an interesting thing happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in England, when we go and do tours, they all embrace using Ouija boards.
Yes.
And glass dowsing and table tipping. They're all into that stuff, which we love. Apparently, they were doing a terrifying Ouija board experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wish I could do one of those. which was carried out at the bottom of the Malkin Tower, the home of the two of the most notorious witches, when a random tooth landed on the table.
Oh, yes. I remember
this. So this was Victoria Barker, who was reporting on this from Haunted Happenings. She said, they're all sitting around and this really old yellow tooth just landed out of nowhere. We were all really shocked because we just could not remember where this tooth had come from. It wasn't like someone present could have thrown it on the table. It really shook us all up because we could not establish where it had come from. The yellow tooth, which on later investigation was revealed to have belonged to an adult. They must have had a dentist with them to be able to tell them that it was
part of the chain.
It was, just as it is. And they think that the adult was around 40 years of age. They've even carbon dated it. Wow. And, you know, one of the ladies there kept it as a souvenir.
Of course you would.
I'd put that in a necklace and wear it.
Mm-hmm.
Be nice. Bit of gold. But that is interesting,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes, if it comes out of nowhere, it's very, very, very interesting.
Is the tower's not there? Think they know where the tower.
Yes, and the tower was a tower, but with a bit of a hut attached to it.
A shed,
yes, or a hut, whatever, attached to it. And as they say, it sounds fancy, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. And we know these tower buildings were built as a precursor to occupation. Mm. So towers were placed all around the place so that they were, became vantage points for people to see.
So it was a watchtower.
Yeah, for people to see.
A dilapidated watchtower.
Anyone coming.
Yeah.
So they probably took it over because it was dilapidated.
Yeah, and it was up on the hill.
Yeah.
So it was away from all the other buggers who'd be sticking their nose in their business.
Yeah.
So I think that was the place where they took us.
Yeah.
In the field, and there was a sort of a grassy bit in the middle. They said, we think that's the well.
Yep.
And then they taught us to do something that we'd never done before.
Mm.
And I had a bit of an interesting reaction to it.
You did.
So what they taught us was the human pendulum. Mm-hmm. So this was pre-COVID, guys. We all had to stand around in a big circle around what they thought was the well and the location of the Malcolm Tower. And then they got us to all close our eyes, and somebody stood in the middle and said, you know, this, we're going to form a human pendulum, listen to our voices, and we'll direct you on what to do. And then they started to go, we call upon the ghosts of Pendle Hill to come forward. We want the witches to come forward. Walk up behind these people here and make your presence known. And they were saying things like, place your hands on the shoulder of these living people that are here and rock them back and forwards, make their presence known. And I'm fine, I'm rocking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going back and forth. And then they were going, the spirits of the witches now make people's hands light as a feather so they float up. And next minute I know my hand is starting to go up, hanging on to the person next to me. I'm dragging the other person's hand up with me, and I'm in my head I'm going, what the hell is going on here? Because I'm really logical. Maybe I had a bad prawn that night. I don't know. But
they were also being very divisive. They were also saying things that, you know, in your heart were making you very angry.
Yes, and this is what happened next, is that they started to be rather unkind.
Yes.
To the witches.
Yes.
And say things that were...
Very accusatory.
Yeah. You know, you black-hearted hags and selling your soul to the devil and harming people against their will.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, I became very angry. Now, whether I was taking on a persona of one of the ladies who was accused of the witches, or whether it was my subconscious, I don't know. But all of a sudden, I started to, still hanging onto the hands of the people next to me, walk towards this person. My eyes were shut, and I wanted to kill him.
Mm.
I wanted to hit him. And they started to freak out a bit because I was getting rather aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Renata was very amused.
I was.
But was it a hypnotic suggestion? Now, I've had people try to hypnotize me before. Couldn't do it.
Mm.
Was it hypnotic suggestion? Was I picking up on the injustice of those women, or was it my subconscious? I don't know, but it was a fabulous experience.
Mm, it was. And we had been primed for a few days as well. So this came right at the end of the experience of the weekend. We had been taken on a bus tour throughout Pendle Hill prior to this, and we stopped at museums and we stopped at local areas where these families were associated with, and we were being told tales, and we also had other experiences. And this was the culmination of the weekend, to go up to Pendle Hill and to go to where Malcolm Tower was supposed to be and to experience the energy left from that night, that accursed night when that collection of people came together and then were raided by these other people that came to take them away, never to be returned to Pendle Hill, never to see the light of day, taken to Lancaster Castle to meet their end. So this was this emotional, deep emotional connection.
Now, I'm going to refer to another little bit of reported phenomena that was fairly recent. There was a lady that took a photo within St. Mary's Churchyard of what she believes is Janet.
Mm-hmm.
And she's saying, you know, this is the child, and it's staring out at me from its deathly white face and an ice cold stare from her black eyes. And you look at it, and it's moss on the back of a headstone or the front of the headstone, which we see in cemeteries or graveyards all the time. Mm-hmm. It's pareidolia.
Mm-hmm.
It looks really cool. There was even one that they turned upside down to show it. I'm going, you're going too far. But they referred to, here it is, she believes she saw 9-year-old Janet Preston, one of the witches who was hanged. Yeah, let that sink in for a second.
Yeah,
She wasn't hung.
No, she wasn't. Hanged. She lived.
She was one of the ones that dobbed them in. But yep. You know what happened to her later in life?
Yeah.
She got accused of being a witch.
Yes.
And she went on trial herself.
Yes.
But she escaped.
Yes.
By that stage, they decide you actually needed evidence rather than just the word of somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But it just shows that lady is, you know, pulling things out of her ass.
Didn't read her history.
No, I'm very disappointed in that. But let me get on to, this was a great description of the most haunted experience. I'll read it out to you.
Okay.
Just try not to lose, don't wheeze too much. It was Halloween and Yvette and Derek went out on Pendle Hill to investigate old farmhouses to search for the Pendle Witch's Sabbat. The first cottage saw the team picked up on Elizabeth Depp. Now, they've put D-E-M-D star star E. Apparently, there must be a swear word in the middle. And Derek got possessed as her and threatened the crew. He was removed from the building.
Oh.
Poor Derek.
Oh.
He was removed.
Oh, my goodness.
But it's okay. Derek came back in. And they all tried glass divination. And the glass moved by itself.
Oh, my gosh.
And then Derek again shouted, "I'm Elizabeth Southworth and not Demadududu," and was taken outside yet again. Poor Derek. I love this description. The alerted team then went to a ruined farmhouse and Derek started to choke and said a witch was trying to hang him. He said that the other 9 witches were following them. The last location was Tyndale Farm, where Derek said 11 witches were with them. They'd been picking up a busload as they went. Oh, I hope they had a big bus. The team started glass seance, and Elizabeth Southworth got in contact with the crew and spun the glass around the table. John the sound man started to choke, then Stuart collapsed, then John the cameraman collapsed, then Kath fainted, and then Carl.
Who's Carl?
Is that the husband of Yvette?
Oh, who cares?
Oh, Renata, this is exciting.
Gary.
Then the table snapped and the show ended with the glass smashed because they ran out of time.
Oh.
That's what it says.
Oh, my God.
But I actually do remember that. There was people going down left, right and centre, and it was like they were dragging them out of the house and then there was just nobody left to keep filming. It was hilarious. I mean, it was quite terrifying at the time. Because I
need to watch that.
You do need to watch it. But it was because of that episode that I started to try glass dowsing.
Oh.
Yes. That's where it all came from.
There you go.
So that, I'm very grateful to that one because that helped me out there. But wasn't that a great description?
Amazing. Amazing.
Now, apart from that awesomeness.
Mm-hmm.
I found another little story about some people who were doing some works for the water board, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually showed some of the practices of what would have been witches or cunning women or whatever you wanted to call them, the superstitions that were surrounding it. So, I mean, we're going on about, you know, these poor women who were trialled for witchcraft, but there was witchcraft going on.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. So Pendle Witch's pogrom haunts water workers after finding a mummified cat.
Mm-hmm.
So the Jacobean era's infamous witchcraft trials record the reservoir repairs at Pendle Hill Dig Out Cottage with bricked up feline. So they apparently were doing some work there with the water engineers, and it was just meant to be a very benign sort of disinteresting job at the Pennine Reservoir. They found a buried cottage. Now, there's actual photos of this buried cottage, and it is in great condition. But what they found inside one of the walls was a cat. Mm-hmm. Now, whether the poor cat accidentally got bricked up, and I know that during the earthquake we had here, I had a friend who had workers come in and do some work, and a cat did get bricked up inside the wall.
Oh, dear.
And then they had to break it down and get it out. But you'd think it'd be making some noise, wouldn't you? Anyway, it was the gruesome tomb had been hidden for at least a century under a grassy mound at Lower Black Moss. Now, the practice of walling up a cat with the animal sometimes still alive is known to have been a medieval precaution against evil spirits. Mm-hmm. And the tradition survived into later centuries in remote areas.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that fascinating? Mm-hmm. Poor pussycats.
Mm, yes.
But let's just have a little think. I mean, oh no, I'll read your story. I think we've got time for a story.
Yes, absolutely. And this goes back, people, okay, remember, and this is why black cats and witches' familiars become so well established as something really interesting, because people didn't actually keep cats as pets.
No.
Back then.
They were there to catch the rats.
That's it.
They had a job to do. Let me read you this one. It's Wheatley Lane, Hawstones.
Hawstones.
I had to find Hawstones. I had to find something really good because we're going to do our naughty road trip around England. So yes. I thought, let's find some Hawstones. In 1633, Edmund Robinson, an 11-year-old boy from Wheatley Lane, accused a group of his neighbours of witchcraft. So once again, young children.
Yeah.
The boy told two justices of the peace, Richard Shuttleworth and John Starkey, the following tale when they interviewed him at Padenham. Yep. Edmund claimed that he had been out gathering wild plums one evening when he saw two greyhounds, words, my nose is blocked, greyhounds, in a meadow. One was black, the other brown, and both had golden strings attached to their collars. Thinking that he recognised the dogs as those belonging to Mr. Nutter and Mrs. Robinson, the lad took hold of the strings, deciding to abandon his search for plums, and with the dog's help, catch a hare or two for the pot. What a good boy.
Hmm.
The hounds, however, refused to cooperate, and when they failed to chase a hare that he flushed out, Edmund beat them both with a large stick.
Oh, naughty boy.
Horrid child.
Naughty boy.
The boy claimed that at this point, the black dog changed into Mrs. Dickinson and the brown one into a small boy who he did not recognise.
Oh, no.
Mrs. Dickinson offered him a silver shilling if he would agree not to tell anyone about this, but Edmund replied that he would denounce her for a witch. On hearing this, the woman took a bridle from around her waist, threw it over the strange boy, who had taken the form of a white horse. Then pulling Edmund onto its back with her, she galloped into a large house called Hawstones.
Hawstones.
Edmund went on to describe the things he had witnessed at Hawstones, including men and women drinking and carousing together, eating lumps of seared meat which they pulled down from the ceiling with a series of ropes, and seeing three old crones take clay images from the beams and stick thorns into them. He escaped from his captor as she joined in with the antics and ran, greatly distressed, to tell his father what he had seen. As a result, Edmund's story, a jury at Lancaster found 17 suspects guilty of witchcraft.
Oh my gosh.
They did not hang, however, and a report of the trial reached the King's Privy Council, who ordered that four of the witches should undergo examination at Greenwich. The four were Janet Hargraves, Frances Dickinson, Mary Spencer, and Margaret Johnson. The medical jury who examined these women declared that they could find nothing unnatural, such as a third nipple, on any of them, even though Margaret Johnson confessed to practising witchcraft. It is unclear what happened to the accused following this declaration, that there is no account of an execution of witches taking place around that time.
Mm.
So it's all very similar stories.
Yes.
I wonder what he did that he got in trouble that he needed to dig that story up. Because I'd say that's what it was.
Mm.
He's got in trouble for something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're all witches. They're just, oh, they're out to get me.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, kids, and they're all in one room. There's none of this upstairs bloody bedroom business or dining room business. They all live in the one room and sleep in the one room.
Yep.
So kids will have their ears open and be listening to the adults talking and make up fairy tales. And probably the adults would spend many a darkened hour telling ghostly stories to their kiddies to keep them at home. So all this becomes fodder for these stories.
Mm.
And you don't know what the children are promised when they go to these courts either.
No. No, you don't. And it wouldn't take much to sway a small child to say what you want. Look, now, I'm going to jump to the conclusions now because we're running out of time and there is so many stories, so many. But I found this great article. Oh, now I probably can't find where it was from. But they were saying that, you know, once the camera crew came, and did Most Haunted, then they've got a plethora of people that are arriving. And now we've got really good business in Pendle Hill,
yep.
where you can have any sort of tour you can possibly imagine. And it doesn't mean that the stories aren't true. And the history is true.
It is true. It
doesn't mean that the ghosts aren't true.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a good business and they're making the most of it.
Mm-hmm. And when you've got a transcript of the trials, they go back to 1500 where you can get that information from, well, that's gold.
Yeah. So since 2005 up to 2015, Lancashire has 81 reported encounters of non-explained supernatural phenomena.
Oh.
Of those, no less than 23 were witches, 28%. Which is a big statistics of God, I've got the it's a big percentage of what would be considered normal phenomena in the paranormal world.
Mm-hmm.
You don't normally see witches.
That's true.
You see, you know, like shadows, poltergeist phenomena, that sort of stuff.
But how do they know they're witches?
Well, you know.
Are they standing there with pointy hats and
do you think that maybe the TV show had something to do with it, raising the profile of it? People are going to go to these locations and what are they looking for?
Yeah.
They're looking for the witches.
Yep, and they'll find them.
They will. Well, you'll have a personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
But to this day, they've not really found anything that says the witches are there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they even say that the Society for Psychical Research in London went and investigated.
Mm-hmm.
They found nothing. The ASAP, which is the Association for Scientific Study of Anomalous Phenomena, has no reliable documentation of paranormal activity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all hearsay, personal experiences, what people think it might have been.
Mm-hmm.
We've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I think if there were going to be ghosts there or residual energy or anything, it's of these poor women and the men who were accused and to this day, like that TV show that I went and watched, or the YouTube thing, they're still saying these evil, demonic, horrible women that were witches.
Yep.
And calling them awful names.
Yep. Yep.
They were just humble, ordinary peasants.
Yep.
Trying to do the best they could in pretty dire circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And we, as investigators, are still going out there
asking the wrong questions.
Asking the wrong questions and also being absolutely bloody-minded about the demons and the devils.
Because that sells shows.
It certainly does.
It sells shows.
So I got a little bit busy by the time I got to the end of this one.
Good.
Watching these people get up there and call them horrible names. Those poor women.
Can we go back?
Yeah,
can we go
please,
back?
We'll go,
can
we'll
back?
Go back.
We go back.
We'll go back and we'll say to them, we love you, ladies. I'm so sorry this happened to you. But, I mean, in a way, they made their own bed, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they did. And long-standing family arguments, a very small township or a very small village. This had been going on for a really long time. It was inevitable that something was going to happen. But one place that I would love for us to go, which we didn't get to go, was Lancaster Castle.
Because oh, yes.
That's where they all stayed.
Yeah.
And that was still running.
And I had stories from Lancaster Castle that I could have shared, but there was just too much.
Yeah, that was still running as a prison.
What?
Because they had a prison area there. That was still running as a prison up until 2011.
Wow. We're going.
We're going.
All right.
We're going.
Well, that brings us to the end. Now, Renata, is it a true haunting or not?
Look, I think having been there and having sensed many things while we were there, and we haven't even gone into our trip and how it was there, I really feel there is a lot of latent residual energy. And I think that there is room for healing and that healing can be done by reaching out to some of these spirits that are there. We don't necessarily want to move them on, but we do want to offer our healing to them.
Yeah.
Whatever else happens with other people, that's their issue, not ours. That's their shit. But I would like to go back and continue to offer some healing.
Yeah. Anyway, that brings us to the end of this week's episode of True Hauntings. If you could do us a favour, head over to our YouTube channel, Anne and Renata. Make sure you subscribe. There's lots of videos there so you can see our faces. And join us in our online communities. And in the meantime, guys,
see you on the dark side.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of True Hauntings. If you like the show, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. For more on Anne and Renata, follow @AnneAndRenata on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.